Hello and welcome to Being Mindful. Hello and welcome to Being Mindful Radio Station. Radio.
Oh, I'm Lily. Should we start again?
Yes, let's start again. It's because we were rushing around and stuff, but anyway, we're here. So hello and welcome to Being Mindful. I'm Lillian Larty and I'm joined in the studio with my co-hosts, Pastor Deji Ayorendi and our sister Anita in a lovely pink top today.
Honestly, one day we're going to have this show with live video.
Yes.
So people can see the stuff that happens in this, in this studio.
That would be great. Yes.
So Being Mindful is our weekly broadcast that explores issues surrounding our quality of life as Christians, including mental and emotional well-being, finances, family, relationships, careers, and much, much more. I was told to elevate my voice. If you're joining us for the first time on Being Mindful, let me tell you that this is where we discuss topics around how we can respond when we or others are confronted with certain kinds of concerns in our Christian lives. As always, during the show, we'd love to hear from you, so please do not be shy and get in touch with us regarding today's topic, which we'll reveal later. And the easiest way to contact us is first using the PHBC radio app. Just tap on the link, contact the studio, and send us a message from there. And also, if you're on social media, if you are on Twitter, now known as X, if you're on Instagram, Facebook, use the handle at PHBC London to find us, and then you can send us a message from there. Okay, so let's get started. Let's start, as always, with what's on your mind. I'm going to start with the lovely lady in pink.
Whoop, whoop.
Anita, what is on your mind?
What's on my mind? I want money.
Oh my goodness.
Straight up.
I didn't see that coming.
Honest. That's good. Why do you want money?
Money answers a lot of questions.
Well, so scripture says.
Yeah.
And Bible says, I wish above all things that you prosper even as you also prosper.
So what's on your mind is money.
Exactly.
Money.
Everyone is prospering, so money has to come in.
Wow.
And what will you do with this money, may we ask?
A lot of charity works.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you have any particular charities in mind?
I have one in Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm looking forward to do my own charity.
That's interesting. Yeah. Charity in doing what, if I may ask?
Charity in bringing the younger folks together. And then let me use yesterday. There was an instance yesterday around the church auditorium. And then I asked a lady what she's doing in school. She said she's reading something else. I don't want to mention the name. Mm. So I asked her from there, what are you going to do? She was lost. She didn't know what to do.
Mm.
I quite remember those days when I was in the youth meetings, when I was going to youth, attending youth classes and so on and so forth. All these things were taught.
Mm.
So I started picking who I am today from that teachings that we had.
Mm.
And I've realized most of the young ones don't know this.
Mm.
So that is where I'm going to tap from.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
You have to know who you are, what you are doing here, why you are here at this minute.
Mm-hmm. And where you're going.
Where you're going.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm so still important. Looking for the name for the charity. I'm praying for God to give me the name. So
yes.
Fingers crossed.
Definitely. That's so needed.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation with someone today about doing some work for young people between, I think, I can't remember the age, maybe, I think it was 18 to 24, around that age group, I think, or even younger, about, you know, certain life skills that we see the youth are not being taught, you know. Mm. And it's like, I mean, I don't know whether it's because we're in the age of social media that our youth are growing up. So it can seem that the youth are growing up quickly on the outside, but on the inside, it's, there's no substance, you know, there's no grounding, there's no foundation.
Yeah.
No life skills, you know. So yeah, that's something that is yeah. so needed, because I remember being in school and getting careers advice. I think I was age maybe 14, 15, something around that age, you know. And, you know, because it's time, you know, they know that, okay, in a year, 2 years time, you're going to leave school. So what are you going to do? Are you going to go into work, or are you going to continue down the educational stream? So it's something that, yeah, questions that are great for our young people to ponder on and to think about.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well done. Pastor D, do you have anything to say to that? Or
No. Absolutely loving it.
Okay. So what is on your mind?
Today mm-hmm. was a really special day.
Ooh.
For Pollard's Hill Baptist Church.
Ooh.
I'm loving the backing vocals here. Because Pastor Manuel and I and somebody else, Laura, from London City Mission, went to one of the local schools to conduct an assembly just to go and tell the children about the Christmas story and what that is. And, you know, and so it was a really, really good day. We've got a great relationship with some of the schools in the area and some of the local organizations. And so it was really nice to just go in there. I mean, obviously, it's a privilege when a school says to the church, okay, you know what? Come and tell us about Jesus. Come and tell us about Christmas.
Yeah.
So it was really, really wonderful to go into to the school and just, and so it was yeah, because obviously they couldn't put everybody, all the pupils, all the children in the hall at the same time. So they split them into two groups. So that was really, really wonderful just to go out there. And to testify in some regards, to witness, to tell the story, to help them understand what Christmas is about, what it should be about, and why Christians celebrate Christmas. You know, for me, one of the big things was at the end of the sessions, we did it in two sessions, so one for one group, the other for the older group. At the end of each session, we prayed, you know, and I was just like, I mean, I've done school assembly before, but never prayed. So it was really nice to just stand in that with the teachers around the outside. And we say, you know, we're just going to pray. And if it's okay, if you want to join us, that's fine. If you know, close your eyes or you could just listen, you know, and that was just, I came away from there feeling like, yes, Lord. Father God, just water that seed, you know, water that seed. Yeah. So I'm on a little bit of a high in terms of what happened in the schools today.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Oh,
amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because well done.
We know what's happening in this country, particularly with regards to, you know, even speaking about God in schools, you know. Wow, that's amazing. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. I'm that really... That was a big plus for me, real big plus. Yes, yes. I mean, you know, we also bribed the children. You know, because when you've got children, you're trying to get them to listen to something, particularly some of them have probably never heard before. You know, you need something to hold their attention. Yeah. So we walked in there with a bucket, two buckets of lollipops.
Oh, and they would love it. Yeah,
and we said, this is for you at the end of the school day, if you behave yourself. We're going to give them to your teachers. So while we're talking, they were listening to us, but the lollipops were right there.
Temptation.
Motivation. So Lillian, what's on your mind?
What's on my mind? Gosh, I think just the festivities that are going on in terms of Christmas and, you know, what I'm seeing out there and different conversations that I'm having with people about how they're spending the Christmas and some people who are choosing to spend Christmas by themselves and those who are like, I don't know what I'm doing, you know, I'm still sort of deciding. And people who are organized, you know, since August.
Since August?
Yes.
Sorry, what?
For Christmas? Some people already had their lights, they're putting up their lights on the houses. Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Because some people, they live for Christmas. They love Christmas, you know.
Wow.
When you watch the news, especially the Southeast news, and they're talking to certain people about, you know, why you got all these Christmas lights on your house, and then they tell you the story. Oh, my goodness. It's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like, you know, and I'm like, do you not have a life?
I mean, for me, more than that, I look at some of these houses. I mean, and there's one not too far from here, actually, in Mitcham.
Uh-huh.
And it's, so many thoughts. Thought number one, how long does it take you to string it all up? The whole house is wired and there's all sorts of things in the front yard, down the side. You know, how long does that take? Number one. Number two, what does it cost you to buy that stuff?
Mm.
Number three, what's your electricity bill going to be like in December? Well, January.
Mm.
And then number four, and you know, January is the toughest month.
Mm.
It's like January has 12 weeks
dry.
before you get paid.
More than 12 weeks.
So what's your January electricity bill like? And number four, your neighbors, how are they going to sleep at night?
Yeah.
It's permanently daytime. Yeah. It's a disco through their curtains.
Yeah. Or for the ones opposite, that's what I think. You have to have blackout curtains.
So I have a lot of, nevertheless, now I've said all of that. When you're driving past it, you're like, wow.
It looks
good. Yeah, I have been seeing that. I said, since 2 years ago, every time there is Christmas, you see this house. And I'm like, the first question I ask is, yeah, he's decorated it. What is his or her relationship with Christ? Does she really understand, he or she understand what she's doing?
Mm-hmm,
I have been asking this question anytime I see this particular building we are talking about.
Yeah.
That is the question I've been asking.
Yeah. I
see it.
Wow. Wow. Should we do some music?
Yes. Yeah? Are we having any Christmas carols today?
It's a, not carol,
Christmassy music.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, 'tis the season to be jolly. So we are definitely having Christmas music. Come on.
Cool.
You should, come on.
Cool. I just need to check.
And interestingly, just for today, none of them is jazz. So we'll see what happens in a couple of weeks time. We'll see what, you know, I don't know. Or the next show anyway, but it's definitely Christmas music. We're going to start with this song, which I think is a really wonderful song. It's by Rend Collective. And it is called Emmanuel, You're With Us.
Okay. It just doesn't feel like Christmas at all. It's so hard to forget about all that went on. Some friends lost their jobs and some family too. And some people say it was all down to you. But I know Emmanuel, you're one of us. You left your throne to wear our stars. Though Christmas lights may lose their spark, and winter's cold. Christmas time after all. The carols are soaring, the fire's roaring on. This year's had its trials, but sweet mercies too. Glad tidings of joy and hope down to you. I know Emmanuel, you're one. You're one of us. So
sister and brother, be kind to each other. We've all had a journey, our own path to wander. The light will come, just know you're not alone. So sister and brother, be kind to each other. We've all had a journey, our own path to wander. The light will come, just know you're not alone.
We are back, and that was Ren Collective, Manuel, You're One of Us, featuring Ellie Holcomb. Yeah, Holcomb. So I hope you enjoyed that little music interlude. Anyway, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Being Mindful, and we would love to hear from you on today's topic. And we are going to discuss today, should we celebrate with Christmas trees, decorations, Father Christmas, Santa Claus, and the whole stuff that comes with Christmas? Should we or should we not? So get your comments ready. Do send it through to us via the PHBC Radio app. Tap on the contact us button and send a message that way, or if you're on social media, Twitter, now known as X, Instagram or Facebook, use the at PHBC London, and that will come through to us as well. What is your opinion? What is your thoughts around us as Christians celebrating Christmas with Father Christmas, Santa Claus, Christmas decorations, the tinsel, the lights, the Christmas tree, putting a star on top of the tree, putting an angel on top of the tree. Woo! There's a whole lot of things to discuss today. So, yes, so do send your questions, comments in through to us, and we will happily include you in the conversation. So, Father Christmas, Santa Claus, should we be celebrating with Father Christmas, Santa Claus? I mean, what do we understand about Father Christmas, Santa Claus? Let me just start off by reading some research that I found online, which under Santa Claus, also known as Father Christmas or Saint Nicholas or Saint Nick or Kris Kringle or simply Santa, it says, is a legendary figure originating in Western Christian culture, who is said to bring gifts during the late evening, overnight, and overnight hours on Christmas Eve. He is said to accomplish this with the aid of Christmas elves. Yeah, should we be celebrating with elves? What's that about? Who make the toys in the North Pole workshop and with the aid of flying reindeer. I mean, I haven't seen flying reindeer. I don't know about you two.
No.
Who put his sleigh through the air to deliver the gifts. So, are these things that we should be celebrating, Anita? What are your thoughts? And does it have any place in the Christmas story as we know it?
Straight in there. Let me just before you do that, can I just, what was your experience of Christmas growing up?
Oh.
Okay, good point.
It was fun. I do remember back in the 90s. I'm bringing in memories, but don't worry. back in the 90s, I am a Barras girl. My dad is was a prison warden, so we lived in the prison quarters. And where I enjoyed Christmas most was when we had been transferred to Insawo Medium Security. Mm-hmm. That is the biggest prisons in the entire country. Yeah, so there we've got the farms, the prison farms. We've got all other things. Other officers have also got lands where they farm on. But I do remember during those days, we used to go to the prison farm where they've got the palm trees. We get the palm fronds and then come home, build a tent. We prepare ahead before 24th. Because 24th, some of us will go to the farm to harvest cassava, plantains, and so on and so forth, pepper, and all these vegetables, just to get ready for 25th. Those who have rice will cook their rice. But those of us who would want to eat the proper fufu with chicken light soup, we'll have to go to the farm. So we get these things done, the tents done, and then we've got this colorful lights, red, blue, yellow, and all those things. Set up the lighting in the tent, and on the 25th, after church, everyone is in their kitchen waiting for their mom's food to be ready. Those days, we did not know anything about, I'm buying you a Christmas card. Where were you going to get it from? Most of our parents did not know about these things. It was about prison yard, farm, school. So what we were doing as exchange was, my mom cooked this food, your mom did this one. We come together in the tent and then we share amongst ourselves. And those days, it was fun. It was fun. That was where I realized that eating together opens doors. That is why I realized that people had ambitions. The younger folks, my age mates then, they had ambitions, but how were they going to go about it? Because then we had nobody to sit you down as a mature person amongst our group, our age groups, to educate or encourage us that, hey, this, you can do this about it. You can encourage yourself about that. But thank God, we went to church. Let me use this opportunity to say thank you to my mother. I know she will be listening. Theresa Piafuakwa, wherever you are, thank you very much for this opportunity. She took us to church then. So we were taught about Christmas. We had those days, I didn't know how to call it, but we called it agape meeting, agape love, agape programs, where church will cook food. The women in the church will cook, bring it to church on a set date, and then we all dine together. It was fun then.
So really then, and what you're talking about is the experience of sharing and giving, and there was generosity, and there everybody just shared and
everybody
gave. Okay. What was Christmas like for you as a child or growing up?
For me, having been born here in the UK, it was very much Christmas trees, Christmas decorations. I remember at school, even from the beginning of December, you know, part of our work that we were given was to create these decorations to hang up in the classroom, you know. And so over the weeks, we would be doing different artistry, creativity work to create these decorations and hang them up. And at home, it was getting the tree ready. So an artificial tree, you know, come out from the loft and you decorate it with, you know, the tinsel and the baubles and things like that, and the lights as well. And then it was a case of, I mean, when we were young, we didn't have the opportunity or know how to, you know, exchange gifts with each other. So it was our parents. It was always get the Argus catalogue. Daddy, I want this. This is what I want for Christmas. This is what I want for Christmas. As soon as December hit, that's it. That's all our parents heard from us, was this is what we want for Christmas. And I remember really bugging my dad for a bike. I remember on, I think, I don't know what day it was, but it was days leading up to Christmas that I saw this big thing which had this, I don't know, it had a cover over it. So I knew it was my bike, and my dad said, no, it's not. He said, no, no, that's not for you. I was really disappointed. And then on Christmas Day, you know, of course it was all revealed that was my bike. I tell you, I was so excited, so excited. I mean, so it was all about, really, it was all about gifts then.
And I think that's the key thing. You know, it was about gifts. It was about gifts. And what we're talking about this Santa Claus, you know, coming down and giving gifts for children.
Yeah. What was Christmas like for you?
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, for me, it was, I think rather like what you were saying, it was as a child, I didn't, excuse my language, but I didn't really care who else got a gift as long as I got a gift. You know? It was about me getting a gift.
All about you. You
know, yeah. And it was mostly toys. You know, it was just about the toys. I wanted that toy or the other toy. But in truth, you accepted what you were given, you know. Yeah. But one key thing I do remember around Christmas was family coming together. Mm-hmm. You know, so a little bit of both. For me, it was about, I must get my toys, I must get my gifts. But I also remember my cousins and my aunties, and they were always, the house was just packed around on Christmas Day. It was just, you know, and we would listen to Jim Reeves music all day. Oh my goodness. It was Jim Reeves all day.
Else is Nat King Cole.
So Santa, I mean, I think the key, there's a key thing around Santa Claus and Father Christmas and all of this. And I think a lot of people say, well, you know, we receive gifts from our Heavenly Father, not from Father Christmas. And Christians shouldn't be doing that. You know, we should, there's no Santa Claus in the Bible. There's no Father Christmas in the Bible. You know, why are we doing this? And I think I understand that. I understand that. But where do you guys, you know, because I know both camps. I know someone who's like, nah, we don't have Christmas trees. We're not doing that. Mm. We're not doing Santa Claus and Father Christmas. You know, I was talking to somebody today who said from a very early age, what this person was like, no, I'm not mixing this up. It's all fake. It's all, there's no Father Christmas. There's no such thing. It's only God. Mm. And some people, you know, that's how they're going to, you know, this lady was saying that's how she's, you know, sorry, my children, no. There's no Father Christmas. It's all a lie. Mm. Do you understand? That's from the world. Mm. I don't know where you guys stand on that.
Yeah, I mean, for me, when I was young, I always found Father Christmas creepy. You know, I don't know whether because the person was large and it was taller than me, and you know, I just felt unsafe, you know, around these Father Christmases. And I wasn't one to say to my mum, I want to go to the Christmas grotto, things like that. No. Mm. And whenever I went to a party and there was a Father Christmas there, I would, no. I didn't feel comfortable with that. So if I had children, I wouldn't be taking them to see no Father Christmas. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether, you know, they use Father Christmas as some type of an image to replace God, you know, because I've heard that said as well.
Can anybody replace God?
Exactly, yeah. They can't, you know. I'm a no for Father Christmas. What about you, Anita?
Yeah, I don't remember seeing Father Christmas growing up.
Not in Ghana.
No, not in my house, not in my father's house. No. What I remember seeing was a Christmas tree in the church with lots of decorations. So with that, I can relate to it. And then the questions I used to ask, why was this mounted here? Mm-hmm. What was its significance? Mm-hmm. Even so, now that I am grown and married, I don't have Christmas trees in my house. Mm. Up until just this 2 weeks, we went shopping and I saw Christmas trees. So why I said, I want a Christmas tree. I told my husband, I want a Christmas tree. The reason I requested for it, I've got that emotional feeling. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that this represents Christmas.
Mm. But that's interesting because the whole idea, I mean, we think about Father Christmas. In fact, I don't know if you know this, the picture of Father Christmas we have, you know, white beard, big belly, grandfather looking, red and white. Do you know where that came from?
No.
You don't? That picture of Father Christmas came from Coca-Cola.
Oh, yes. In their commercials.
They actually owned... They created that image.
Yeah.
Yes. For a long time, nobody could use it. It was copyright Coca-Cola company. Mm-hmm. And then you come to I don't know how many years your copyright expires, and then other people should use it. There was a season nobody else could use Father Christmas that looked like that because they created that character. Yeah. Yes. But the Father Christmas idea that we know came from, you know, Saint Nick. Mm. I think you also mentioned Saint Nick. Yeah. Yeah. And Saint Nicholas was a bishop that lived... 1,700 years ago, nearly 2,000 years ago, actually, about 300-ish years after Christ died. And he was a bishop who was very generous and believed in celebrating the birth of Christ and giving gifts around that. So the whole Saint Nick thing is Saint Nicholas. It's up taking after him. He encouraged people around Christmas time to give gifts because Christ... was the gift given to mankind, given by God, for God so loved the world that he gave, and we're meant to give. And so the whole idea, his ethos, his philosophy was, we've got to emulate generosity and kindness, particularly as we're celebrating the gifts to the whole of humanity. And so that was his idea of, you know, what it meant to be a Christian, what it meant to show love around Christmas time. And so that's where the idea came from. But the question really is, should we still be doing that? You know, as Christians, is it, do you understand what I mean? Is, you know, like somebody said, it's not in the Bible. So is it right?
Let me go straight. It is a choice. It is a choice. Mm-hmm. It is an individual preference. Yes. We do not necessarily have to go according to that idea that this is Christmas. We have to do it this way. What about those who do not have anything at all? How are they going to go about it? So it is an individual preference. I have searched from Genesis to Revelation looking for Christmas. Yes. But there was nothing there.
I mean, how did we even start celebrating Christmas? 25th of December, where did that come from?
Exactly. That's it. You know, it's a I mean, when you look at research as well, you know, the origins of Christmas, from my research, it's based on a day selected from, you know, paganism, you know, to celebrate winter festivals.
Winter solstice, yeah.
Yeah.
A day close to the solstice. Yes.
And it was again a day of celebration, and you know, but there was no relation to Christ in terms of Christ coming into the world. You know, it was just a winter celebration. How then, you know, Christian got hooked onto that is,
well, Constantine.
Mm-hmm.
Constantine.
Mm-hmm.
Constantine is the key emperor. I think, was it Constantine? He was a Roman emperor and he was a Christian. And so it was his idea that, you know, we find a way to celebrate Christ, celebrate the birth of Christ, celebrate that whole time. But at the same time, really, really, really critical was... as they were celebrating and being a witness to people who did not know Christ, what he wanted to do was, and I think, okay, let's celebrate the birth of Christ. Okay, the question is when.
Right.
You know, that, you know, Jesus didn't have a birth certificate.
Yeah.
Let's just call it what it is.
Yeah.
You know, I understand.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes, you know, people, and particularly Christians, we have been a bit, You know, we've been, sometimes we get a little bit, oh, why, Jesus wasn't born on the 25th of December. It's true. He didn't have a birth certificate. So we don't actually know specifically when he was born. And so Constantine said, you know, let's celebrate the birth of Jesus. I mean, after all, St. Nicholas had been celebrating, you know, something and saying, let's do this. So, no, I think Nicholas came first. And so Constantine came before Nicholas and saying, okay, let's do this, but let's be a witness. And there were lots of people who had their pagan festivals around that time. And so he said, you know what? We're going to pick a date that's around-ish their time because I don't want to necessarily alienate them. So rather like how Paul, when he spoke to the Gentiles, talked about this, the unknown God, you know, when they were witnessing, they all knew there's a God somewhere, but we don't know him, you know, and Paul didn't, you know, the early disciples weren't saying, yeah, you don't know him, your gods are rubbish, what you've always been. And he said, no, there's something beyond what you've believed. That's our God. That's this Jehovah. So I think the idea was, let's pick something. We just pick a day to celebrate. And if we pick it similar or close to when they do, it makes it easier for them to transition from this God to the true God. So that was the whole idea. That was the philosophy that was behind choosing the 25th of December. In truth, if you look at it theologically, when you look at, and by the way, we've been doing a lot of talking, I just want to throw it in there. If any of you is listening, you've got an opinion, got a question, let us know. Go in the app, just click the button, contact the studio, WhatsApp the studio, send in your question or your comments. Let's factor that in. What happened was, what was I going to say? Yes. So as where it concerns the 25th, I lost my train of thought in that moment because I thought it'd be nice to get you know some questions in. But we celebrate that, yes, we celebrate that time because a date had to be chosen, right? It made it easier for these guys to transition. Mm-hmm. Okay, no problems. Let's look at it theologically. When the angel appeared to shepherds, correct?
Yeah.
The shepherds were tending their flocks, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can tell you free of charge, no shepherd takes their sheep out in winter.
No.
Sometimes they're out late, but not in winter.
No.
They don't take because you can't see the stars, you know, unless it's a bit dark.
Yeah.
You can't take your animals out in winter. Even in that region, it gets cold. It snows in Israel. It snows in Palestine. So even in that region, it gets really cold. You don't take your sheep out in winter. So it wasn't winter. Yeah, but again, a date was just chosen. Let's just have this as the day we celebrate. Because, like I said, Jesus didn't have a birth certificate. Yeah, so we know he wasn't born in winter.
No.
Because the shepherds were out tending their flock.
Yeah.
You know, when it was evening.
Yeah.
You know, and they were by the fire. It must have been warm. Yeah, because if it's winter time, trust me, those animals would have been in.
No.
They'd graze early, but as soon as it's getting dark, it's getting cold, straight back in.
Yeah.
So those are the things that we need to balance when we're thinking about some of these things. Should we jump to music?
Yeah, let's go to some music. And what do we have next, Pastor?
Well, the track. This is you know we're doing Christmas, right?
Yes. Yes.
This particular track is a Christmas song, Christmas carol. I think a carol because it actually tells about Jesus. But this is a contemporary version. It is by the folks over at Maverick City Tribal Music, Maverick City Music. We know them, and it's a remix of a very old carol, very old song called "Go Tell It on the Mountain."
Shepherds came.
Welcome back to Being Mindful. So that was Maverick City, Go Tell It on the Mountain. I hope you enjoyed that little music interlude. So our discussion around Christmas and Christians, should we be celebrating with Christmas trees, Santa Claus, Father Christmas, the elves, tinsel, lights? What is your opinion? Please let us know. Pop it in the at PHBC London on social media, or go to the PHBC radio app and tap contact the studio. And we want to hear. We want to hear from you, Christians. We're listening. What is your opinion? What are your thoughts around Christmas? Should we be having? We've spoken about Father Christmas, Saint Nick's. What about the Christmas tree? Should we be having a Christmas tree in the house? Pastor G.
I was just saying, as somebody, have you got a Christmas tree?
Have I?
No, I'm just saying for the listeners.
Oh, have you got a Christmas? Yes, listeners, have you got a Christmas tree? Have you got a Christmas tree? And or do you not decide? Have you decided not to have a Christmas tree? Do let us know. Anita, do you have a Christmas tree?
Not yet. Ooh. But I'm going to get one.
Okay.
I have my simple terms, I call them. It makes it Christmassy.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yes. It makes the celebration beautiful. Mm-hmm. It adds up to the Christmas. Why do I say this? Christ was a gift to the world.
Mm-hmm.
So everywhere, he says we should go tell it on the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere that his name is, mm-hmm. everywhere that his word goes, there is light.
Mm.
That is how I see Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. It signifies Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't forget the tree is not just any dead thing.
Mm. Mm.
It's green. What does green stand for?
Mm.
Life.
Mm.
And with me, I see the tree as mm-hmm. Christ.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Freshly born mm-hmm. and given to the world.
Mm-hmm.
So then the decorations around it
mm-hmm.
is the gift of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Love, patience, healing, and everything good
mm-hmm.
that comes from Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That is the gift around the Christmas tree. So that is how I see Christmas. Formerly, I was not a fan of Christmas trees,
mm-hmm.
but now I'm getting connected to it.
Okay.
And whenever I look at something, I ask, what does this stand for? What am I going to gain from it?
Mm.
How can I talk about it?
Mm.
So now, this year, I'm going to have a Christmas tree.
Are you going to have a real Christmas tree? Or is it going to be an artificial one?
It's going to be an artificial one for now.
So no pine needles on the floor.
No.
No real Christmas tree in the house.
No, maybe next year I'll do the real Christmas tree.
Wow.
But for this year, I'm going to start with the artificial one.
Okay.
Yeah. And what about you, Lillian? Have you got a Christmas tree?
We have a Christmas tree up in the house. For me, I'm not really bothered. It's more my mum who likes a Christmas tree. I've put it up. We don't have a real one. We have an artificial one. My mum said that they had a real one years ago and, you know, the pine needles just got everywhere and it's too messy and stuff. However, with the research that I've looked at, you know, people are, you know, Christians are saying that with the Christmas tree, the symbol of the Christmas tree, they're associating it with Christ.
With Christ?
Yes. Mm. Having hung on the cross, you know,
because... Yeah.
You know, the cross is wood and etc. And also that trees are natural. You know, you would have a plant in your house. you know, or I mean, some people have trees, little trees in their houses, you know. So what is the difference between that every day, having a little tree or a plant in your house, as opposed to a Christmas tree in your house, you know? So for me, yeah, like what you were saying, it symbolizes Christmas. I don't really see anything wrong with it. I don't associate it with any pagan symbolism or anything like that.
But there are plenty of people who say that a Christmas tree has pagan roots.
Mm.
And if it has pagan roots, why would we as Christians do that?
Mm-hmm.
And I think because if you research, if you actually research, not just read the first thing that comes on Google, mm-hmm. you'll find that no one person can tell you specifically and definitively it was this person on this date in this town or city or country that started the tradition of the Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
There are differing views about the roots of the Christmas tree. And some of them talk about some of the pagan traditions where the pagans would come and put their gifts before this I suppose an idol of a tree.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a tree that they used to ward off spirit because they used evergreen trees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the evergreen trees, evergreen firs that grow in Scandinavian countries particularly because they're evergreen, so they're not withering. And they were like, wow, this is a symbol of... So pagans used it and they would put it in their house around toward the end of the year as a means of, you know, a symbol of them having life.
Mm-hmm.
And some people would bring offerings to the tree. There's places you would read, they would leave their offerings for the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that. But at the same time, there's another group of people who said, you know, this tree, we're putting it here simply as a decoration.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a means of decoration and a focal place for us to leave gifts for those we want to give gifts to, you see. And as much as, so I don't know, I think some people would argue and say, well, if it was used in pagan times, why should we use it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the, you know, we if pagans have done it,
mm-hmm.
There's no reason why Christians should be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me just pull up a comment that we've received talking about your, you know, this is a response to you, Anita, saying, you know, where you talked about things like trees and tinsel being a personal preference, but a lot of people don't want to follow the way the world celebrates. You see, so in some regards, the world is doing this. Should we be, you know, Jesus said we're in the world, we're not of the world. And this comment is talking about that in the same way, the Bible doesn't talk about decorating or giving a present for somebody's birthday, but we do it.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible doesn't say, you know, you have to, when you have a party, you have to decorate your house, but we do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't say you have to give someone a present for their birthday, but do we do it? And the caller here, or the not caller, the commenter is saying the most important thing is knowing the reason for the season, knowing that Jesus is the gift to the world
mm-hmm.
that changed our eternity forever.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
You know, I think it's true that there are non-Christian origins to the Christian the Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
But let me point something out to you.
Mm.
Easter Sunday, what do we typically give out in our churches?
Mm.
When you come to church on Easter Sunday and you see people going home, what have they got in their hands?
Palm.
Palm.
Yeah.
Palm.
Yeah.
What does a palm mean to us? Why do we carry the palm?
Mm. It's when Jesus went through, was it Jerusalem?
When he was going to Jerusalem, you know, as he rode on the donkey,
and
they worshipped him, and they threw the palms down.
Yeah.
All right. Do your research. Ancient Egyptians used to use the palms in the same way to worship the god Ra.
Mm.
It was a means of worshipping the god Ra. So because it's as if, I don't know, sometimes we read the Bible and we just assume the day a whole bunch of people did something was the first day they did it.
Mm.
If God did something, we can say, yeah, God did it. First day God did it.
Mm.
but where more than one person is doing it, there's a whole bunch of people doing the same thing, it's culture. It speaks to trade. How did they all suddenly have the same idea?
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's saying, actually, where did that idea come from? It was just a symbol of worship.
Mm-hmm.
So the ancient Egyptians used it as a symbol of worshiping their God. When those same people came to faith, they were like, we want to honor, give honor where it is due. Mm-hmm. When their ancient deities would come in, they'd lay the palms on the floor for the deity to come in.
Mm-hmm.
When the king that deity, the god that deity used to bow to, you understand? Mm-hmm. When the god of Ra, the god that Ra bows his knee to,
mm-hmm.
when he comes in, what are they supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, well, this is the highest form of honor, if you understand mm-hmm. what I mean.
Yeah.
So in the same way, I understand some of the so-called understandably pagan attribution of the origins of the Christmas tree. But, you know, so what?
So, Pastor, on that note, do you have a Christmas tree in your house?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. The Christmas tree,
it's an artificial.
What? That thing is going to clog up the vacuum cleaner. You're trying to hoover it up.
Yeah.
It's going to mash you up.
A lot of work to do.
And then what do you do with it? And then where do you put it?
Afterwards?
Just throw it in the street?
Uh-huh.
Litter the street?
Well, the refuse people do take it and they recycle.
Do they?
Mm. They do.
Ah. Yeah, they do. They pick it up on certain days.
But then I would go for the artificial one where after everything is done, I can pack it and keep it somewhere.
Yep.
And then reuse it
again year after
over
year.
And over.
Yeah. Yep. Our tree.
Until I'm fed up.
Yeah. The tree we've got is about 6 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yes. It's about 6 years old. Yeah. And we're still, no, I think maybe a little bit more actually. And we're still, it still looks, still looks good.
Uh-huh.
Still looks good. So we have a bag for all the decorations and whatever. And then we have a set of lights. And it's just, it celebrates. Because there's another element to this.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who don't know Christ.
Mm.
And all they know is the commercialization.
Yes.
Number one. And in some cases, just the celebration. Mm. Some people don't know the reason for the season.
Mm-hmm.
All they know is celebration, commercialization. I've got to do my shopping. Got to buy gifts. We've got to have a party. And I think that sometimes we as Christians, we miss opportunities to be a witness. We miss opportunities to meet people where they are.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When we say, no, it's not in the Bible.
Mm.
You know, closing your eyes to pray is not in the Bible.
No.
Exactly.
I've not seen it.
Wedding rings are not in the Bible.
Mm.
No. You know, they're not.
No.
You know,
no.
Leather shoes, leather sandals, yes. You know, Prada and high heels are not in the Bible.
No.
Any kind of heel, not in the Bible.
No.
Jeans are not in the Bible.
Exactly, yeah.
And let's just call it what it is.
Yeah.
Even trousers are not in the Bible.
Yeah.
Let's just call it what it is. Even the men didn't wear trousers back then. So what are we doing? What are we doing? And I think sometimes we miss an opportunity to be a witness, to say we're celebrating too, you know, and then hope that somebody, it's a means for, makes it easier for someone to approach us, to say this is a door for a conversation, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, but I think I'm very cautious about our electricity bill. we're not going to decorate the whole house as
Lapland.
And earlier on, you talked about elves. I mean, what is an elf?
Oh, my goodness. Even seeing them elf things are just like, oof, put me off. I'm just like, and especially when I see Christians dressed as elves as well, I'm just thinking, no, you've got no idea.
Yeah, that's a different era of fantasy and somebody's imagination.
Yeah.
That's, for me, I think that's a little bit far with the pointy ears and pointy shoes and this and that and the other, the little running around. And I'm not quite sure about that.
Yeah.
Personally, I'm not so sure about that.
No.
But again, society sees it. When we see that imagery, they understand it.
Mm.
You know, they understand it.
Yeah.
And I think the key thing, and certainly what we've done with our children, we're not hiding Father Christmas from them. What we're saying to them is, Father Christmas, Father Christmas is real, but it's actually uncle wearing a suit.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about Father Christmas like the tooth fairy. It's role play.
Yeah.
You understand? So we help them. We don't want to alienate them from society. We want to give them an understanding, heighten their cultural awareness,
yeah,
so they can engage in the conversations, yeah, but they know where the line, yeah, is, mm-hmm, between fantasy and reality.
Yeah.
You know, Superman, Spider-Man is not a real human being.
Yeah.
You know, it's a cartoon. It's a character.
It's a character.
Absolutely, like, yeah, Father Christmas is a character. Yeah. So that's how we reconcile those things here. Mm. Here in Pollard's Hill Baptist Church, we've actually got two, mm-hmm, Christmas trees.
Yes.
Yeah.
One by the main door, the front door, yeah, and one in the church, in the, yeah, sanctuary, yeah, right at the front.
Yeah. Yeah.
So hey, you know, I don't know, you know, some this might not be the church for some people.
Some Christians won't come December. You'll see them in January.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much for those of you who've tuned in for today's topic. I hope you found it very interesting. And, you know, you can still send your comments in to us as well. And we'll pick it up next time when we're on air, which will be in January.
Yay.
So we wish everyone a safe and happy Christmas and New Year in advance. And Feliz Navidad for our Spanish speaking,
hey,
brothers and sisters. Woo woo!
You're showing off now.
And we, like I said, we'll be back in January. And thank you for listening to Being Mindful Radio. My name is Lillian Larty, and I was joined by Pastor Deje and Sister Anita in the studio. And as always, as we say, thank you for listening. Remember to be mindful of yourselves and each other. God bless you.
God bless you.
Bless you.